Shalom, good morning. This is Radio Shalom coming to you through Planet FM 104.6. Shalom, Jules.
Shalom, good morning. Nice to be here.
Good morning. Well, our theme today is supposed to be Jewish comedy. And the first of the comedy is that we're supposed to be a threesome, but...
The Honorable Michael Silverman, who was going to join us, unfortunately couldn't make it. That leaves me, Jules,
and Eka,
Joan. And we are the three J's, because we got the beautiful Joe doing the recording. So Joan, Joe, and Jules, the three J's. Hello, all the listeners.
Shalom.
Shalom.
And we're going to talk about Jewish comedy. How can we put it in one sentence? Bittere Gelächter?
I'm going to say not Jewish comedy. I'm going to say Jewish humor in one sentence is practice. And you'll see.
Practice at what?
You'll see. Patience, patience. You'll see why practice. So let us start with my daughter, Lauren, who's living in Melbourne. This year gave me something very beautiful, and I'm following it, and I am passing it on to everybody. It's sort of a blessing. And the blessing is, may you always find reasons to laugh. I've got a flyer, and Jan's got it in front of her. Joe's got it in front of her, and I've got it in front of me. And it says, may you always find reasons to laugh, and you'll see why later. And then straight underneath that, I've got, if you laugh a lot, a very lot, when you get older, your wrinkles will be in the right place. This is true?
Have them all over the place, so it's the right place.
Well, Joan, when you get old, they'll really be in the right place. And then underneath that, for those of you who remember the Peanuts cartoons, I've got a picture of Snoopy, the dog Snoopy, with his mouth wide open, and he's really having a real good laugh. So that is the introduction. Now, in Jewish history, we have a famous rabbi who is commonly known as Rabbah. And Rabbah had many students, thousands of students, and he never, ever did a shiur, a lesson, without first telling something funny. And his reason was that when you laugh, it opens the channels of the mind and you learn. Now that's 2,300 years ago in Babylon. In 2015, an educationist in the USA by the name of Sarah Henderson wrote the following in a paper called Laughter and Learning. Humor boosts retention. She says, humor activates the brain's dopamine reward system, stimulating goal-oriented motivation and long-term memory.
So you always remember the jokes. You don't remember the lecture, but you remember the jokes.
You remember everything. You know, older people say, oh, I'm getting old. I can't remember things. That's such nonsense. If you say, I can't remember things, then you don't. If you say, I forget nothing, then you remember a lot more. And so she said, long-term memory, which means that humor can improve retention in students of all ages. That includes us, Joan. So retention, students of all ages. Now, Rabbah said that or implied that or used that 2,300 years ago. So I found that quite fascinating. So while we're on that, it's a little difficult to see our listeners, but I'm going to visualize that every time I tell a story, that you are laughing because it's good for you.
And it helps you.
It helps you, for sure. You'll see why in a minute. So firstly, something topical. You know, what's the most topical thing? It's we also... And it's all the abuse that's going on all over the world. So I'm reminded of the word oxymoron. Oxymoron. What does oxymoron mean?
You tell me.
Right. Oxymoron is a word that describes something that you say which has opposite meanings. Like, for instance, hell's angels. How can you have hell's angels? Or deafening silence. Can't have that. Or seriously funny. I hope that today's chat with you is going to be seriously funny. It will be. It's serious. And it's funny. So we can say that a certain person who's been accused of misconduct is an oxymoron because, and I think we all know who we're talking about, he's an ox. In Jewish it says Bahama is an ox and he's a moron. Now, before we get on to Jewish humor, we need to have some definitions. Would you like to venture a definition of humor?
Something which strikes your funny bone.
Excellent. Excellent. So humor is the quality of being amusing. Quality of being amusing. It could also be a mood. I mean, a humorous mood. You'd say, I have a great sense of humor. The ability to find things funny. Well done, John. Strikes your funny bone. Now, what's the definition of laugh? This is funny.
I suppose it is using the muscles in your face and your throat, which sends forth a sound.
Well, John, this is wonderful. That definition, the dictionary definition is make the spontaneous sounds, right, your throat, and movements of the face and body that are the intuitive expressions of lively amusement.
Well, my thought here is our people have been the victims of oppression through the ages, and yet the humor has always been there. Sometimes it has a sting in the tail, and people will laugh, even though it's a sad occasion.
Now, John, you and I haven't discussed this talk at all, and that's exactly what I'm going to be talking about. So are we onto mental telepathy that you've been getting the vibes of what I'm going to say? And well, having said that, that's the essence of what I'm going to say. Let's go home, let's have tea, and we can go to the draw. Okay, so that's exactly right. Now, the definition of laughter is now the action or sound of laughing. We all got that definition.
But
got
it those. Can be a chortle, it can be a giggle. There's different levels of...
Different levels, but if it's a giggle, then you're not performing well because the essence of laughter is it doesn't matter how good the joke is or how bad the joke is, you laugh. Not giggle, you laugh. Not a smile, you laugh. Right. You know, if you ask me what's the definition of a Jewish joke, it's like this. A Jewish joke is something that most people don't understand. But when you tell it to a Jew, he says, he doesn't laugh. He says, ah, that's an old joke. And by the way, he has a better way to tell it. That's Jewish humor.
True.
Now we're getting to the healthy part. So humor, laughter is healthy for you. What's topical now? President Trump, that's topical, isn't it? President Trump has declared war on opioids. Opioids in America are killing the people. It's killing the finance of the economy. It is really expensive. And doctors are prescribing opioids without stop. And President Trump has declared war. He says, we can't have this. We've got to stop it. When you laugh, the body releases endorphins. And I'm going to read this to you because I can't remember it. Endorphins are endogenous opioid neuropeptides, the word opioid, produced by the central nervous system and the pituitary gland. Its function is to inhibit the transmission of pain signals, which is what opioids do, and produce a feeling of euphoria. Euphoria. You feel good. You can conquer the world. Everything looks bright. That's what endorphins do.
So that's why they have comedy shows?
That's why they have comedy shows. That's why it's compulsory when I tell a joke to laugh.
Okay.
Good for you. Now we get to Jewish humor. How do we get a definition of Jewish humor? It's really difficult. So I'm going to tell you what Jewish humor is not. Generally, Jewish humor is not escapist. It's not physical. I think we're all thinking about that, of all the jokes that we've heard, whether they're escapist or physical, and you're going to find that they're not. It's generally not slapstick, except for the Three Stooges. Remember the Three Stooges?
Of course. Yeah.
They were slapstick.
Marx Brothers also slapstick.
Marx Brothers was slapstick and satirical, but the Three Stooges was just slapstick. They used to slap each other with and without sticks. Jewish humor is not cruel, but it's not gentle. And it does not attack the weak. What it does do, it's meaningful. It's situational. You know, all the sitcoms, Jerry Seinfeld's always a situation. It's satirical. It is anti-authoritarian. Because we've been oppressed for so long, we're always having some story joke about authority. And it's mocking. We now get to understand the Jewish humor, get to some stats. In the 1978, Time magazine produced some stats. I don't know who did the stats, but the stats are quite amazing. At that time, the Jewish population was in America was 3% of the total population. At that time, the Jewish professional community comedians accounted for 80% of comedians in professional comedians in America. So 3% of the population, 80%
producers.
Now that's just, it's alarmingly amazing.
They could make a living at it.
They could make a living. That's why. That's one reason. But we've now, in order to understand Jewish humor and how it came about, you've got to ask that question, why? Why 3% accounts for 80%? The other statistic that came out probably 10 years ago, on a survey, they found that 42% of those interviewed, Jews, said that good sense of humor is essential to be Jewish. 42%. Only 19% said that observance of halakha is essential to be a good Jew. How about that?
That's a joke.
That's a joke. Is that an oxymoron?
That's a joke.
Well, but this is true.
It's a nice one, you know. Kainanora.
Now, if we look at the list of Jewish comedians, it's endless. So now we've got to say why. How did this come about? And yeah, John has already preempted me. Jewish humor is born out of oppression. It's born out of deprivation. Oppression and deprivation have been going on for Jews since forever. Forever, there have been times when we had no rights, no voting rights. We had no land. No country. You've heard the expression, we were strangers in a strange land. We had no army. And this was throughout the centuries. There have been times when there have been attempts to annihilate us. So all these
still
things.
Still going on.
Still going on. Denial. How did we react to that? How did we counter that? We found humor.
Making a joke.
We found humor. If you ask any psychologist, they'll say that laughter, humor and laughter is a recipe for emotional strife, for depression. for anything that goes on that you need help, if you can find a way to laugh, it helps.
It's also, I think, they used to make jokes of their oppressors, putting their oppressors in a joke where they had the upper hand and the oppressor was down.
Like, for instance, may the Lord bless and keep the Tsar as far away from us as possible.
Exactly.
So, humor became really a defense mechanism. And this is the issue. Because we've had so much oppression and because we've had so much deprivation, we have had a lot of humor and we've had a lot of practice. Through the ages. We've been practicing for thousands of years. And you know what happens. When you practice, you get good at it. I'd like to just read a list of some of the names before we get on to the next part. Jewish comedians. I'll start with Peter Sellers. Not many people know that he was Jewish. And he's rated as one of the best comedians of all time.
Suffered from depression.
Suffered from depression. Why? Because he didn't portray his own personality. They say that his mother was very hard on him, and I think his uncle. And so he was always portraying other people. Anything that he did, he put himself into the character of the other person. So he was actually running away from himself. But he's regarded as the greatest comedian of all time, not just Jewish, of all comedians. Yeah. Wonderful. Woody Allen. Woody Allen's satire, I mean, brilliant. He's a genius. Jackie Mason, the rabbi, who was a rabbi and found that he didn't have people coming to shul, so he started telling jokes, and all of a sudden the shul started filling up not just with Jews, but with non-Jews, and there was no space for the Jews to come to shul. And then he left that, and he suffered. He became a comedian, but for 20 years he had very little income, and then he made it big, but really big. So this is a rabbi. Humor, known all over the world. Jerry Steinfeld, Larry David, Billy Crystal. I might talk about Billy Crystal a little later. Seth Rogen, Paul Rudd, George Burns. George Burns had like two careers when he was somewhere in his older age. He reinvented himself. Adam Sandler, Jack Black, Don Rickles. Oh, it just goes on forever and ever.
These are the ones in the movies. That's not taking into account all the ones that were performing in England, you know, in the Jewish theatre, and so on.
And they created theatre around humour. Yeah, plenty, plenty. Our next follow-on is the types of Jewish humour. How much time have we still got?
10 minutes.
10 minutes. Right. So now, following on from that, the easiest flow into Jewish humor is curses. You're oppressed, you're deprived, your defense is cursing. And do you know that in the Eastern Europe, in the shtetl, in the ghetto, where everybody was like squashed together, where you had the synagogue in the middle of the shtetl, and you had the people all around it. And if you didn't observe the Sabbath, the Shabbat, you were in deep trouble. They'd excommunicate you. So what could they do? They didn't have any rights. And if there was a dispute or an argument between Jews, what did they do? They couldn't go to court. They weren't listened to. So they expressed themselves by cursing. And there was actually a profession. Profession was a cursor, a professional cursor. So you had a dispute with somebody, you hired the cursor. The cursor would then say, what's the dispute? Get some background and get some background of the person that you had the dispute with, and then run out of the house into the center of the little shtetl or near the house of the person that was going to be cursed and start screaming curses, just flowing out of her mouth, and get paid for that.
They didn't wait for it to see if it worked or not.
They didn't wait, no. Having done the curses, they were not interested in retaliation or feedback. They were professionals. Curses had a shape. The shape of the curse was, the first part of the curse was something good, a prophecy, which was made you feel good. And that was followed by the curse. Like, for instance, may you become very, very rich and spend all your money on doctor's bills. Right? The prophecy and the curse. May you have a very large retail and successful store. And whatever customers ask you for, you don't have. And whatever you do have, customers don't ask for. Same thing. When we have a new moon, what's the difference between a new moon and a full moon? Full moon is a full moon and it's bright. And a new moon is just a slither that you can see and there's very little light. So the curse is, he should have good luck as bright as the new moon. Not bad. May your enemies get cramps. May your enemies get cramps in their legs from dancing on your grave.
Oh, God.
Isn't that a relief? I mean, if you've got an enemy and you say that to the person, so you feel relieved. It's not swearing.
If you're that nature, you can feel relieved. But they believed in it in those days.
Believe in it, absolutely. Right. I'll just say a few in Yiddish. Zostu verin vi a hengleiter. Hengleiter is a chandelier, a light chandelier. As du zost heng ba tog und brennen ba nacht. That you should hang during the day and burn at night. Zostu, the famous one, zostu wachsen vi a zibela mit die Koppen dreht. May you grow like an onion with your head in the ground. And, health-wise, zostu verlieren alle deine Zähne, nor einem. As du sollst haben zornweitig a ganzen Leben. May you lose all your teeth except one, so that you can have toothache for the rest of your life. And what about this? I mean, this is ridiculous. May the entire Pacific Ocean be your enema. Now we come to,
Pacific Ocean was so far from them.
You know, I modernized it.
For a year.
I couldn't, I could have said maybe the Volga River, but that's too far away.
Too vulgar.
A modern day kind of a curse is, we're on electronics and we're on TV and we're Facebook. And so the young person is on a Jewish social media network site and receives a message from somebody called Shana, which means beautiful, too. And the message is D-Y-H-M. Wow, he thinks to himself, D-Y-H-M, do you heart me? Only to discover that it's his mother telling him, do your homework, mamala. This one I love. Have you heard of Bobby Flay? Bobby Flay is an international chef, Irish, and he's been on TV in competitions like, I think it's called Iron Chef America, internationally famous. So the curse is this, may you be a hot new glatt kosher chef. Glatt kosher means really
absolutely
kosher. And may the Food Network challenge you to a televised showdown with Bobby Flay. And may Bobby Flay beat you in front of millions of people with his grebeness. Grebeness is a traditional Jewish dish. It's deep fried onions and chicken skin. So here's Bobby Flay beating you at your own game on your own doorstep. I think we need to do the rest of it next week.
Or another time.
Or another time.
That's great. Thank you very much, Jules. Appreciate that. It wasn't easy to collect when you were going to trade jokes. but I know that on TV at the moment they're doing a history of comedy, and I thought that I meant to watch it, but I didn't. Because on that history of comedy, if you're taking the comedians, it's just as you say, that there were so many comedians and all their stories had a bite in them and made fun of some human connection.
All of them. One of them was Sarah Silverman, a great Jewish comedian.
And Joan Rivers.
Joan Rivers.
So, yes, Joan, Jules and Joe, we will continue with this story next week. Oh, sorry, in the future. I'm not quite sure what next week will be because I think Purim is coming up. So thank you for listening, and don't forget to listen next Sunday at 10 past 10 to whatever program will be.
And keep laughing.
And then, and please gather some jokes. You can go to our Facebook page and put the jokes there, and if you're good, Jules will read them out. So,
correct. Good.
And
thank
if you've
you,
missed this program, you can go to www.planetaudio.org.nz/Radio Shalom. And we would like to thank our sponsor, Nature Bee.
When you're feeling low, there's a place to go. Come and dance with me. When you feel the beat stamping in your feet, dance away, break free. Two steps to the left, two steps to the right, and turn around in circles and circles tonight. Two steps to the left, two steps to the right, and turn around in circles and circles tonight. The beat is grooving, the circle's moving, I'm feeling young and free. The floor is burning, the circle's turning, that's where I wanna be. When you feel alone, looking for the zone, there's a place to be. We unite as one, come and join the fun. Take my hand and see. Two steps to the left, two steps to the right, and turn around in circles tonight. Two steps to the left, two steps to the right, and turn around in circles.